all familiar with the Mishnah Sanhedrin, the fourth parak. Vatichach neva adam yechidi lelamdecha shekol hama'abed nefeshachas miyisrael ma'ala olav ha'ketzuv kilu ibed olam ole shekol hama'kayim nefeshachas miyisrael ma'ala olav ha'ketzuv kilu kiyim olam ole. Every person in the fourth parak, Vatichach neva adam yechidi lelamdecha shekol hama'abed nefeshachas miyisrael ma'ala olav ha'ketzuv kilu ibed olam ole shekol hama'kayim nefeshachas miyisrael ma'ala olav ha'ketzuv kilu kiyim olam ole. Every person is uniquely valuable. His life has unique, singular importance. Every person is an olam ole. And yet, there is a dialectic. The Gemara in Brachos tells us on the pasuk in Kohelet, "Sof tova kol nishma, es elokim yirav, es nifes of shmor kizeka la'adam," that kol olam kulo lo nivra ela b'shvilza. So on the one hand, it's true that each and every one of us represents an olam ole, uniquely valuable. And me'idach gisa, sometimes certain people stand out. And kol ha'olam kulo lo nivra ela b'shvil zeh. There is a certain dialectic here. Chazal imply in one place in the Medrash that the entire nation of Moab was conceived so that Ruth HaMoaviah would emerge. So everyone's an olam ole, and yet all of Moab is for the sake of Ruth HaMoaviah. The whole world is b'shvil zeh, for this one person who's a true Yirei Elokim. There's a dialectic here. The same dialectic is true on the level of the microcosm as well. Yemeshen Atzeinu Bohem Shivim Shana Rimbi Gvira Shmonim Shana. Every day of our life, every hour, every minute, every second is equally important. Each one has a challenge. Each one imposes upon us an achrayus of Avodas Hashem to the best of our ability. Avraham Zaken Baba Yamim Chazal say he came with all his days, didn't waste a single day. The equivalent of every person being an olam mole, every day represents a nitzchius. And yet, the dialectic holds true here as well. Mordechai tells Esther, "Ki im hachresh tacharishi ba'is hazos, revach v'hatzola yamer la'yehudim mimokom acher, v'at u'beis avich tovedu." Umi yodaya im la'es kazos higat la'malchus. Yimei shenoseinu b'hem shivim shana. Every day has its challenges. Every day we have our achrayus, we have our shibudim in avodas Hashem. And yet, within a person's life, sometimes there are a few moments, and sometimes there's one critical moment. An es kazos shehigat la'malchus. A time which will be singled out from all of a person's days as to whether or not he responded on that occasion, whether or not he responded under those circumstances. That's what Mordechai told Esther. You have your routine. You have your routine of Avodas Hashem for your nation of Seinu Bohem Shivim Shona, but that's not enough. Because right now there's a critical defining moment. There's an Eis Hazos where all norms have to be overturned. It's not enough to follow our conventional, your conventional schedule of Avodas Hashem, Esther. Your whole life is for this one moment. So again, the same dialectic. Every minute of a person's life, every second of a person's life is valuable, but there's sometimes within a person's life, there's an Eis Kazos. And within that Eis Kazos, it can overshadow the rest of a person's life. sometimes yesh kone olam b'shah achas and yesh ma'aved olam b'shah achas is the person makes the shah achas critical. But sometimes it's objectively so. Sometimes there's a shah achas where historical circumstances are such that either a person is kone olam or rachman l'tzlan. Right now, with the current situation in world Jewry, is an Eis Kazos. It's an Eis Kazos which requires every one of us, I am absolutely convinced that every one of us is going to be asked what we were doing in the Eis Kazos when the fires of Chilul Hashem were raging uncontrollably. Not in my lifetime, not in anyone's lifetime sitting here, and I don't know how many hundreds of years you have to go back, where the matzah in Klal Yisrael and the sinner, which secular Jews have, and the sense of alienation which they have from Torah has been so great. I don't know when it's ever been so great. Certainly not, no one can remember such a time. It's not enough. Everyone here, your routine is a routine of Kedusha V'tara. You get up, you daven, you learn a whole day, you learn a whole night, you daven again. It's not enough. It's not enough. We can't simply maintain our routines. Everyone, every single one of us, this is not a place to defer to your Rabbeim, as in Cholkin Kavod L'Rav, V'Mokim Chilul Hashem. Every one of us has an achrayus to speak out and to reach whomever we can to try to contain these raging fires of Chilul Hashem. First of all, you cannot overstate, you cannot exaggerate the care and the caution which we must take in speaking about this event, chas v'shalom, not to expand or intensify the Chilul Hashem. Chazal say, Echad Shogeg v'Echad Meizah v'Chilul Hashem. It always bothered me, in Kemat Kolat HaRakula, we always distinguish between Shogeg and Meizah. Those rare instances where we equate Shogeg and Meizah, Shvuos HaEdus, we're learning this year, those rare instances usually reflect the Kula for the Meizah. Clearly the thrust of Echad Shogeg the Echad Meizah B'Chilul Hashem is not to downplay or downgrade the severity of the Meizah B'Chilul Hashem, but rather it's to highlight the severity of the Shogeg B'Chilul Hashem. Why is that? Why don't we distinguish the same way? Objectively, it's the same Chilul Shabbos, and yet we say if you were willful, it's worse. So Chilul Hashem, objectively, it's the same. If you were willful, it's worse. Why is it that Echad Shogeg v'Echad Meizah v'Chilul Hashem? This past week and a half, one level of meaning of the Mishnah became clear. If a person is Meizah v'Chilul Hashem, if a Jewish brute will go ahead and kill a fellow Jew, it will constitute a colossal Chilul Hashem. That a Jew could become so corrupted and so depraved as to shed blood constitutes an enormous Chilul Hashem. But there is a greater Chilul Hashem. There's a Chilul Hashem when a person isn't a monster, isn't a brute. When a person has a yarmulke on his head and he's wearing tzitzit, and he says the Hinani Muchan and Zuman, and in the name of Torah, on an international platform, with the eyes of the world on him, he means it. I mean, that's not an honest. He really thinks that what he's doing is Hashem Shamayim. In such a case, when that person goes ahead and he kills, so it's true, you measure it subjectively. He was mistaken. He wasn't intentionally setting out to be Mechal Hashem Shemayim. No. He had a different agenda entirely. But when you measure it objectively, the Chilul Hashem is so much worse. The case of a person who's destroyed his own Tzelem Elokim, a Jewish mobster, it's quite clear that he has betrayed Torah. It's quite clear that he doesn't represent Torah. But when a person goes with a yarmulke, when a person goes with tzitzis, and he kills, he murders, l'shem shamayim, he's overlooked tzitzach, l'shem shamayim, so maybe subjectively, it seems to be more lenient. But objectively, it's so much worse, it's infinitely worse. He not only betrays Torah, but he distorts and he twists and he perverts Torah. So the murder is not just a betrayal of Torah, but it's worse than that. It's a distortion of Torah. There have been, undoubtedly there will be, reporters around the yeshiva, around the Beis Medrash. Rachmana Litzlan, Echad Shogeg, Echad Mezid B'Chilul Hashem. If they should hear a word, if they should hear a hesitation, a pause, when asked, was it wrong? Do you deplore? Do you condemn? So a person should say that the president of the university came out with a statement and he spoke for all of us. Don't say more than that. You begin to give your own daya and you hesitate for a second. You choose the wrong word, and whether you intend to or not, there's an implication that maybe it could be condoned. You begin to be mefaltel. Maybe it could be condoned. Rachmana Litzlan, Echad Shogeg, Echad Mezid B'Chilul Hashem. A reporter comes, you tell him, the president of the university, the president of the yeshiva, issued a statement and he spoke for all of us. He condemned it in the harshest terms. He spoke for all of us. Ad kan sof pasuk. So number one, we have an achrayas, chas v'shalom, that we shouldn't unwittingly increase and add to these fires of Chilul Hashem. That it's not enough that we don't aggravate the situation. We certainly have an achrayas. We certainly have an achrayas to do whatever we can to try to minimize the Chilul Hashem and to try to somehow stem these floodwaters of Chilul Hashem. How do we do that? A few ways. Number one, every single one of us has to find a forum to reach out to, whether it's one person or whether it's 10 people or whether it's 5 people, whoever you can reach, you have to reach. If you have a next door neighbor who's a Gentile or who's a secular Jew, so find occasion, engage him in conversation. Tell them how distraught you are. Tell them how distressed you are and all your friends are and how the entire school you attend, how distressed and how distraught you are at the distortion of your Torah and your religion. Very few of us have a platform, have a forum to reach masses at once. So we won't reach masses. But if you reach one person, if one secular Jew will hear and will know that this is not what all Orthodox Jews think Torah is, if one secular Jew or one Gentile will understand that this is not Torah, that we are more upset, we are more distressed, we are more distraught about the Chilul Hashem than anyone else is, so then that will be an accomplishment which is infinitely valuable. If we reach one person, if you reach one secular Jew, if you reach one Gentile, if you dispel the confusion of one religious Jew, of one Ben Torah, that's infinitely valuable. And if you can reach more than one Jew, all the more so. If you want to know what's involved, what the shock waves are, so I'll give two anecdotes which should be magnified and multiplied a million times over. A young woman, a Balas Tshuva, as is often the case, there was tension between her and her parents. As is often the case, when a child is chozer b'tshuva, so the parents feel abandoned and they feel forsaken, and there was the unfortunate tension that existed. In the aftermath of the Rabin assassination, so her parents started calling her. Not only was he murdered by an Orthodox Jew, but then Orthodox Jews, some were condoning and some were celebrating. So they called her and they said, "This is what you abandoned us for? For a religion that preaches violence and murder when you have a political disagreement with someone?" And that's all it was. And that's all it was. It was a political disagreement. The policies of the Rabin government, of the Paris government, are halachically justifiable. Let there be no misunderstanding about that. They're not halachically indisputable, but they are absolutely halachically justifiable. How many times the Rav Zichrono Livracha said that in his opinion, one can surrender territories, one can relinquish territories, if it will bring peace. Rav Ovadia Yosef said it, Yibad al-Chayim. Does everyone agree with him? No. But the policies were halachically justifiable. It was a political disagreement. They were halachically justifiable. So these people perceived he was killed over a political disagreement. And they said, "This is what you forsook your home for. This is what you abandoned us for a religion of murder, of violence." So fortunately, the Rav in this young lady's show spoke out, and he condemned the assassination, and he did so in the strongest terms possible. And she came over to him and basically said, "You saved me. I've been so confused this week. Kol ha-mekayeh nefesh achat mi-yisoes ki-ilu ki-eh mola mole." Another story which I heard today, and you can multiply this by a million, and these are stories from America. In Eretz Yisrael, it's infinitely worse. The stigma is, and the distortion and the perception of Torah is a million times worse. Another story, someone representing the yeshiva. Our yeshiva met someone. He didn't know too much about the yeshiva. Didn't know if it was Orthodox, Conservative, Reformed. Didn't know what it was. So he heard that it was Orthodox. So he said, "Oh, so you're the guys who helped assassinate Rabin." There has to be a tzaka gedola shelohaisa kamohu, that this is not Torah, that this didn't represent Torah, that it was the ultimate distortion of Torah, and that no one is more distressed or distraught by the fact of the assassination or by all the ghoulish reaction in certain circles to the assassination. There has to be a tzaka gedola shelohaisa kamohu. It's in mi yodayim la'eis kazos, why you would look to. In all of the diaspora, so it's well known that YU is the bastion of religious Zionism. And this Chilul Hashem was perpetrated in the name of Torah as a whole, but specifically in the name of religious Zionism. So those of us who are currently affiliated with YU have an added achrayus, a greater achrayus than anyone else, to try to counter that Chilul Hashem. How do we counter the Chilul Hashem? You reach anyone you can reach. If you can reach your next door neighbor, you reach your next door neighbor. If you can reach a bank teller when you're making a deposit in the bank, if you schmooze for 2 minutes, so reach the bank teller. Reach anyone and everyone you can. And finally, there's no end to what one can say about this, but finally, and very importantly, part of our response to this Chilul Hashem is to cleanse ourselves from those same flaws which in Eretz Yisrael, under the conditions of a pressure cooker, manifested themselves in the form, in the ugliest form possible, of Shvichas Damim. But we're deluding ourselves if we don't think that those same flaws are not present in America as well. The difference is that America is not a pressure cooker the way Eretz Yisrael is. So those flaws don't manifest themselves the same way. But the intolerance for halachically legitimate alternate opinions, it exists here also. And we have to root it out of ourselves. Totally, 100%. The contemptuous attitude towards spiritually deprived through no fault of their own secular Jews, which also played a role here, and the contemptuous attitude towards the head of state, which are absolutely antithetical to Torah. The famous Chazon Ish in Yeridaya. It used to be considered the most famous thing in the Chazon Ish, about how the din of Moridin Vein Malin is absolutely not operative, and Oleinu Lahachzirim Ba'avoto To'ava. If those Avoto To'ava had been there, so then our hands wouldn't be stained with blood. So we have to cleanse ourselves of those flaws of intolerance for legitimate disagreement, to uproot Sino Ha'emes V'Hasholom Ehovu L'Lamdecha Shechiba V'Reyos Nogin Zebozeh L'Kayim Ma'ashenema Ha'emes V'Hasholom Ehovu. Being passionate for truth does not preclude being passionate for Shalom. The two, there's no conflict between the two. We have to uproot that from ourselves. We have to uproot this kind of contemptuous attitude towards the secular Jew, towards the spiritually deprived secular Jew. We do that, hopefully, Be'ezus Hashem will be most beneficial to try to contain the Chilul Hashem here, to try to project a correct image of Torah, so maybe we can also begin to make waves that will not alienate, but waves that will be Mekarev. And the Rizvon Shalom should bless us, should give us the strength to respond in this Eis Kazos. This Eis Kazos, where we're here, where we're affiliated with YU, so in the eyes of the world, so you represent religious Zionism, you represent the same camp from which this murder emanated. And we have a tremendous achrayus, it can't be overstated. We have a tremendous achrayus to do everything in our power to respond and to project the correct image of Torah. I'm going to go to the next one.